So I left 95 degrees back in Haiti, and I came here to the 90s. I said, God, you are good. My wife and son Lemuel, would you please, Deanne and Lemuel, stand and set up the photo to you. Is here, and usually in Haiti, we get excited in church, and we say, Béni soit l'Éternel, which means praise the Lord. And we are very loud, and we sing, and we clap, we jump. You know, I wanted to start moving this morning. I said, well, I may want to do as the Jews do when I'm with the Jews, and with the Gentiles when I'm back with the Gentiles. So, Béni soit l'Éternel means praise the Lord. Now, you may say, well, this is French. I do not speak French. Well, if you were to think of somebody whose name is Benny, who happened to swallow a nail, you say, Benny swallowed the nail. Phonetically speaking, you will be saying, praise the Lord. May we try that? Benny swallowed the nail. Give yourself a hand. You did so well. I was born and raised in Haiti, and the Lord handpicked me from darkness, from voodoo and witchcraft, and gave me eternal life, and gave me an education. And after my high school, I ended up to Jamaica for Bible school, where I met my wife. We've been married for the past 25 years, and the year we get married, the same year that we joined Campus Crusade full time. And we've been serving. This morning, I would like to share with you the impact of a transformed life, of a personal testimony and mission. How can your life, your first message, have great impact into mission either in your Jerusalem, in your Judea, Samaria, or to the end of the earth? I want to read two verses of scriptures that have really impacted my life, and one that keep me motivated to continue to be a tool into the hands of my Heavenly Father to help bring people from darkness to light, from hopelessness to eternal life. In John chapter 1, verse 12, yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the power to become children of God. And the second verse of scripture is found in 2 Peter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. The first verse, to me, is a gift. The second one is a goal to work until our Lord Jesus Christ returns. We are all called to help fulfill the Great Commission, which is one of the favorite messages of our late founder, Dr. Bill Bright, with Campus Crusade for Christ. How to help fulfill the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? The Great Commission is the greatest project given to man by the greatest person who ever lived on the face of this earth, with the greatest power, the Holy Spirit, and with the greatest promise ever. Lo, I will be with you always till the end of the earth. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the power to become children of God. I was born into a very special situation. My mom and dad met in the Artibonite Valley, which is the flat part of Haiti, where they do a lot of rice and agricultural work. And my grandmother came from the mountain, where they can only do agricultural work during the raining season. During the dry season, they come down to the valley to help those that have irrigation to do agricultural work, cultivating rice. There she met my grandfather, and they got married. My grandmother did not have the privilege of going to school, but she was a very smart lady. I get to spend at least 15 good years with her, where I had understanding of certain things and asked her question, and she was very sharp to answer question. But when she questioned me back, if I could not answer, I got disciplined. And she one day I said, "Grandma, you love me so much, why do you slap me?" He says, "The word of God says, thy rod and thy staff shall comfort thee." So I'm just comforting you. I was like, okay. She always have a verse scripture to back up anything she does. She could not read, but she learned this thing from memory. Very sharp lady. And then she had four children with my grandfather, and my dad became the first child. In the neighborhood where voodoo and witchcraft are very prominent, it was hard to be light in darkness because the pressure was so strong. My father became the first child of my grandmother, and my grandmother was a devoted Christian. She always prays, she fasts, she goes to church. And by the time my dad was in a fifth grader, he had to read the Bible for her because she could not read. When he reads, my grandmother will listen, and he said, "Repeat that again." And my grandmother will repeat it until she got the scripture right into her brain. And let me tell you, it is a good thing to memorize the scriptures. When you're in challenging situation, that's not the time for you to look for the Bible. It's the time to bring the word of God from memory. Jesus, the same thing, when Satan tried to tell him, "If you are the Son of God, drop yourself from here," said, "Well, it is written." We all need to have the word of God in our heart, in our memory, so that we can use it as needed. So my father became a Christian in that community because he was on a foot journey, leaving our village to go to another village, and he heard the claim of Christ, and he prayed to receive Christ. Now, he told me, I understand I have 20 American minutes for this message, and I was hoping it was 20 Haitian minutes, which we could multiply, but there's another service. I've got to be right on the point. I could see the clock right here, you know. And I'm sure this is not put there just for aesthetics, but there is a point. My father became a young Christian in this community, and through him, he started a small church. And in that church, he met my mom, and they got married. Now, in the Haitian culture, when your wife is pregnant, you don't get excited to say, "Hey, yeah, we're expecting." People keep it quiet because there's a spirit of fear that somebody may want to hurt your baby in the room. They may want to send expel or some fetish to hurt the baby, so they keep it really quiet. So, but there will be a time where you cannot keep it quiet anymore. It's obvious. But by then, in the mentality, well, that kid is completely developed. Now, it's a sure thing they could see that we're having a baby. Well, my mom had the first baby, but my dad did not do what the people do by traditions. They take their wife to a witch doctor, a voodoo priest, who does some fetish on the stomach, so to assign a spirit to protect the fetus in the room. My dad did not do that. Because he said, "If anyone is in Christ, you're a new person. Behold, the new has come and the old has gone." So he just wanted to be a Christian and live his life, not according to the tradition of his forefathers, but according to the word of God. The first boy was born, and my dad got excited, go to the creek, get water, murky water, let it settle down. Believe the clean water on the top is the clear water on the top is the clean water, and the muddy water below is the dirty water. Both mom and babies drank water. The baby get diarrhea, get dehydrated. In 5 days, the first baby died. And the bad thing is the people in the community, the witch doctors claim, "Well, what should you expect? You did not come to us, therefore you will never have children. You will only have children when you come to us as voodoo priests to do some fetish to protect your baby in the room." My father refused. They mourned and cried, buried the baby, and they keep praying. And within a year, the Lord gave them another baby. And now people tried to convince my dad to send my mom and to do things, and he refused. And the second baby had diarrhea, get dehydrated. On the fifth day, the second baby boy died. Now, if you are losing your own flesh and blood, and you choose to remain to your faith, either you're a lunatic, you're crazy, loco, gaga, or you've got great spiritual conviction that you will never compromise. That was my dad. As he prayed for the Lord and he asked the Lord to really bless him, my mom got pregnant a third time. He said as he was praying, the Lord told him to boil the water for the next baby. And he made a vow to God, God, if you give me a child who lived, I want to call that child Espérant Dieu, which means hope in God. And that's my first name. I became the first child of 9 children. The 2 that died before, so my mom had 11 children. Now, my mom did okay. My grandmother had 17. So my wife and I, we've been married for 25 years. We only have 3 kids, maybe 10 more to come. No, she said no. She said no, I am not. I guess we're done. All right, honey, everything is good. No problem. I don't want any problem. So I was born in that situation. My father named me Espérant Dieu. I became the first child of the family. And in a very remote area, our house was a mud hut, 18 feet long by 12 feet wide, and 2 rooms, you know. And I sometimes struggled to find food. As a kid, you learn to develop your life skill pretty quick. You get up in the morning, there is no food. You go to the fields and find sugar cane or mangoes or some fruits. And you've got to be careful to go to some extended relative field to glean. If you go to some strangers, you get spanked. You know, they believe in the rod, and they will spank you. So the Lord has really opened the door for me, having gone into this hard background. When I was 13, finished 6th grade, my father moved me to Port-au-Prince. He and his brother rented a small room, and he put me into a Christian middle school. A Friday morning in November 1980, they invited somebody to speak to the student body. So the fellow came and we all gathered about 300 middle schoolers. He said, today I'm here to speak to you on the following subject. Being born into a Christian family does not make one a Christian. I was like, time out, you don't get it. My mom is a Christian. I came out of a room, so I'm good. At the end of his message, I understood that I was born in sin and I need to have a personal commitment to Christ for my life, and that the faith of my parents could not save me. And at the end of his message, I understood that and I prayed. 3 things happened. First, I used my intellect to question, what is Christianity? Why should I get involved? Why should I accept Jesus Christ into my heart? We all use our intellect and the good decision-making process. You want to make a decision, use your intellect, your emotion, and your will. I use my intellect questioning, who is Jesus Christ? He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. So at the end of my thinking, I noticed I need Jesus Christ. Without him, I will go to hell. I will not have eternal life. My name will not be written in the Lamb Book of Life. So I prayed to receive Christ. I questioned Christianity with my intellect. My emotion said, yes, you need it. And finally, I said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive my sins, and help me become the person that you have intended for me to be. And that was what happened to me on that Friday morning in November 1980. And that was just the beginning, because we struggled to find money to pay school and to find food. And, you know, it was hard, but the Lord help me understand that he is my heavenly Father, and everything that he has for me will come through in his time. Now, I'm a sanguine. I want it now. If I could get it now, that's why. But God had to teach me daily that I need to wait for his timing. Finishing high school, the Lord opened the door for me to make it to Bible school in Jamaica. And there I met my wife, Deanne. We got married. And then we joined Campus Crusade for Christ. And we were sent to Nairobi, Kenya, in 1993 for training. And then after we were trained, we returned to Haiti in 1995, serving full-time with Campus Crusade. It was then I met a member of this church who is a Campus Crusade for Christ staff, Dr. Patty Harris, and she got me connected. And various mission trips from this church came to Cape Haitian, where I was serving, doing work together, reaching out, helping moving people that are in darkness and bondage and witchcraft, black magic and fetish, for those people to come to the saving knowledge of Christ Jesus. How can your personal testimony, being a Christian, have great impact and mission? I was born in Haiti, raised in Haiti, and for the past 25 years, I've been coming in and out of the United States. And if you study and you hear and you watch the news, most Haitians look forward to get out of Haiti and move to the United States. It is a place where it's nice paved road, electricity, running water, security, and man, it's a place to be. And they've got all the big, nice restaurants, all you can eat. You know, when I was in Bible school, I took an elective in building constructions. The first day, the guy came inside the classroom with a level. He said, this is called a level. When the bubble is in the middle, that's when it's level. I think I'm level with my bubble right here. So we try to do all the hard things to help people to come to know the Lord. But the success in witnessing, either of our personal life or the message that we share, is simply taking the initiative to share Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the result to God. We cannot force people to become Christian. We can live our life where they could see Christ through us. They could ask questions, why is it that you are different? Why is it that you are not like this and that person? Because the Christ in you will be exhibited and people will want to question you and ask you a question, why are you different? In my class, my primary school class where I studied from first, second, third grade, 17 of us was in that class, finishing sixth grade in 1979. Only five of us are still around from the 17. The lifespan of Haiti in Haiti is very short. I turned 50 last October. It is a big milestone to be 50 years old and still be able to move around in Haiti. And I'm so grateful for the Lord for that, because I am not different than some of my former classmates that are serving witch doctors, that are bound in witchcraft and voodoo, and they need the love of Christ. We join Campus Crusade. We do evangelism through sharing the four spiritual laws. We show the Jesus film for people to understand the claim of Christ, especially in culture where people cannot read and write. They need to see the message and hear it in their own language so that they get to make a decision whether they accept Jesus Christ or not. Now, the message that we receive is for us to go make disciples, not just a new convert. How do you train, study the Bible with people that cannot read and write? The Jesus film, which is a tool that Campus Crusade created, has been very successful in helping people understand the claim of Christ. I want to share with you a story of a lady that we shared the Jesus film with her. She watched the film, she prayed to receive Christ and her two grandchildren. And she came to me and said, Pastor, I prayed to receive Christ. Now what? I said, well, we'll come see you. We took an appointment the next day. Me and one of my trainees, we went to see her. She was in the mid-40s. So we talked to her about how to become a Christian. Now that you're a Christian, you need to grow in the Lord. You need to study the Word. She said, I cannot read. And they said, we'll bring you a Bible. She said, well, one of my grandchildren will read it for me. And she was doing that. And then before I go home the first day after the first follow-up meeting, I asked her, do you have any fetish? Which is some items, they have spirit and they believe those items will protect them, will keep them safe, will give them charms and locks. I said, do you have any fetish you would like to get rid of? She said, yes, but I'm not ready to do that yet. And I tried to pressure her and said, we really need to get rid of those fetish because you don't need them. Jesus is all that you need. And she gave me the look. Now, I have a master in communication, and I know communication is not just verbal, it is gestural. Certain looks mean certain things, so I kind of step back. 2 days later, I came back to study with her, and I said, now that you are understanding John 3:16, John 1:12, yet to all receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the power to become children of God. You're a child of God. You no longer need your fetish. Would you get rid of them? And she said, well, I told you I am not ready. And she gave me another look. So I went home and I prayed. I said, Lord, should I persist? So I went back on the third visit and tell her, now can you pray? She prayed. First time she prayed. She said, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you. My name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. I have eternal life. I am saved and I'm your child. Amen. Praise the Lord. I said, yes. And I said, now that you know you are a child of God, would you let me have your fetish? She said, Pastor, we need to talk. I knew I was in trouble. She said, would you come out? I was inside a porch, and I drove and an Isuzu Trooper, 4 doors, and the spare tire is in the back door. She said, can we talk? I said, yes. She said, this is your car. I said, yes. You've got 4 nice, brand new tires. I said, thank you. Why do you have a 5th one? I said, the 5th one is my spare tire just in case something happened. She said, my fetish is just in case that Jesus thing does not work. I may need that. Well, she had me thinking. And she said, would you get rid of your spare tire? I said, no, I need my spare tire. What if one of them is bad? I need that. She said, I think I need to hang on my fetish. Now, that lady has not been to school, but her logic was kind of very direct. So I went and prayed, and the Lord told me to just rest the case. Let her grow slowly, and the time will come where she would need to get rid of it. Well, we studied, and then I got her plugged into a church, and then we continued to do our work. 3 months later, she invited me to her church. She said, I want you to come to my church. There is something special happening today. So we went to her church, and then she was being water baptized. And then before you get water baptized, the pastor asked a few questions. He said, now I've moved from darkness to light, from hopelessness to eternal life. Jesus Christ is my Lord, and I'm saved. My name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. And the pastor submerged her and bring back. He said, Pastor Pierre, can we go home after this service? I need you to get rid of, take care of something. I went to her house. She said, if you dig down here on the dirt floor, you will find something. And there is this bottle. I took the 2 of them, put them outside, sifted some gas from my small portable generator, wet it with gas, set it on fire. Her and all 3 children, yeah, we are free. He that the Son sets free is free indeed. She and her own self reached a certain level of Christian maturity where she no longer needed the fetish. Now, it is hard to evaluate Christian maturity in Christians, because whatever level you may use may not quite be right. So as we serve and reach out to people, use our personal testimony, our tools, our means to let people know that Jesus Christ is the only mediator between sinful men and holy God, we just have to let God do the work. We can only share the message. We can only try to help people to grow, to bring them to Christ, to disciple them, to teach them to observe all things, and know, lo, I am with you always till the end of the age. You know, when she gave me those look, I feel confident because I knew I was not alone. Because Jesus Christ is with me always till the end of age. Now, who can help fulfill the Great Commission? If I, a country boy, out of a mud hut, God could use me, he could use anybody. If you have come to the saving knowledge of Christ, you become a Christian, your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life, you've been trained, you can help fulfill the Great Commission. And what can you use to help fulfill the Great Commission? You can use your time. T-I-M-E. The T is the 24 hours you have. We all have 24 hours. We spend time with our kids, we work, we eat, we do exercise. We can use that 24 hours to help people come to the saving knowledge of Christ Jesus. The I is your influence. You can influence people to get involved, to really share the message so that others and darkness will come to light. The M is the means that you have, the resources that God has entrusted you to be a good steward. It's not yours, it's for the Lord. And we all have to give an answer to God how we use and manage the resources that God has entrusted into us. The E is your expertise. Everyone in this room know how to do something. You can go to the mission field, you can give, you can pray, or you can even teach somebody something that you know in the process, share your faith. When will the Great Commission be fulfilled? It is in God's timing. It is not to us to know. Our responsibility is to get involved, to share, to live the life, to let people know that Jesus Christ is the only mediator between sinful men and holy God. God has been using our family in Haiti. It has not been easy from the earthquake in 2010 and the hurricane Matthew and all the hard times. We've seen Jesus Christ to be the same. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. He has not changed. And people have gone through what I call the process of elimination. They try voodoo, they try witchcraft, they try taking boat to get to leave Haiti and come other places. They have come to see that Jesus is the only way to live our lives successfully, to understand the purpose for which we were born, not only to have eternal life, but to live our life as a message that will bring others to Christ. Let us engage even more to exhibit the Christ that is within us. The message we preach has to coincide with the life we live. It is not just to be a beer or to be a doer, somebody who is doing things, but we can be that person as Christ lived through our lives and help us to come to know him. Would you please commit yourself even more? Get engaged in helping people from darkness to light, from hopelessness to eternal life. May the Lord bless you.